Any question for last class? So if you were the workers, you should be like Samuel, a faithful worker. If you only just ordinary member, we should strive to draw near to God. If we feel we are far away from God, we need to put more effort to return to God. And then we will for sure receive the help from God. And for sure we can revive our faith. In this class, we are going to talk about understanding my identity in Christ, child of God. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. Verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I'm going to, according to this verse, to share with you about this topic. Here, Apostle John, he is a disciple of Lord Jesus Christ. After Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, after he received the pour down of the Holy Spirit, after he started the mission to preach the gospel. The more he did the holy work, the more he experienced the grace of God, the more he realized how wonderful, how important, how graceful to be a children of God. So here, verse 1, he used the sentence, behold, what manner of love, what manner of love, how wonderful the love of Henry, the Almighty God. Here, Apostle John, he tried to tell us the greatest grace from God is we are from sinner to children of God. When Jesus came to this world, of course, the main purpose he wanted to fulfill the salvation, because without Lord Jesus, there is no salvation for human being. Even the saints of Old Testament time, they were waiting Lord Jesus to fulfill the salvation. But also Jesus set many examples for us to let us know how to walk with God, how to walk in the journey of faith, how wonderful the Heavenly Father give us. For example, when Jesus went to John the Baptist, Lord Jesus asked, baptize me. John the Baptist, in the spirit, he got the revelation. He knew the person in front of me is not just a person. The person is the Savior, is the Messiah. So John the Baptist, he dared not to baptize Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus told him, we should fulfill all the righteousness. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. 14. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? 15. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heaven were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him. 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Lord Jesus told John the Baptist, he said, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. It means this is the right thing. We should do it. This is right. Lord Jesus wants to set the example. It's not because Lord Jesus is a sinner, so he needs to receive the water baptism. Because Lord Jesus set a good example for us. Lord Jesus allow us to know how important the water baptism is. So in verse 16, 17, describe what happened after Lord Jesus received water baptism. When Jesus came up from the water, the Holy Spirit came upon to Lord Jesus, and the voice from the heaven said, this is my beloved Son. So how could we become the children of God? Because the water baptism. Because the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus need crucified on the cross? Because Lord Jesus needed shed blood for us. Because the blood of Lord Jesus Christ allow us become the children of God. So, are you the children of God? Yes, I am the children of God. Why? Because on me, they are the blood of Lord Jesus on me. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of the you stay here in fear. 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot. So here we get the status of children of God. It's not use the material precious things to purchase it. We are purchased by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. How could we be the children of God? It's because of the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. It's also because of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So here also mentioned, because of the Holy Spirit, so we know we are the children of God. Besides that, the truth also relates to this important issue. How do we know we are the children of God? Because of the truth. Let's turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 16. 17:16. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to Father. 17. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is chapter 17 verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Here also mentioned, we are sanctified by the truth. The truth is the words of God. We should be sanctified. Then we can be called the children of God. For this reason, God gives us this Bible. The Bible will help us to become the children of God. How do we know we are the children of God? It's because of the trials and chastisement in our daily life. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Verse 10, for they indeed for a few days chasten us as seems best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partake of his holiness. 11. Now, no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I think we also need to read verse 9. Furthermore, we have had the human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Should we not much more readily being in subjection to the Father of the Spirit and life. Here the author of the Hebrews try to tell us, why do we receive, why do we have the trial and chastising in our daily life? Because we are the children of God. Because you are the children of your parents, so your parents try to correct you in your daily life. So in the same way, because we are the children of God, so God will train us. God will use the trial and the chastising to correct us. So we need to make a resolution. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We are the children of God, so in the future, we shall see God face to face. That is our living hope. So how could we face the last judgment? How could we have confidence in the last judgment? Because we are the children of God. Because here mentioned two important issues: peace with all people and holiness in front of God. So this we need to make a resolution. We pursue peace with all people. No matter we are in family, in church, in school, in our working place, we would try our best to have peace with people. The second one, we need to pursue the holiness. This is also one important issue in the 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 3. Because of the love of God, so we restore the sonship. We are from sinner to children of God. That is the greatest love, greatest grace from Almighty God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 say, because we are children of God, so we should be like Him. We should be like Jesus, like Jesus in the future. In the future, we will also resurrect from the death. We will like Lord Jesus have the glorious body when the second coming of Lord Jesus. So this is our living hope. For nowadays, we have a living hope that Lord Jesus Christ will come soon. His coming is the surest thing in the world. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 20. He who testified to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the end of the book of Revelation. We know the book of Revelation is especially for this generation, for us. In the past, many Christians, they read a book of Revelation. They knew this is the last book in the Bible. So this is the very, very important book in the Bible. However, when they read book of Revelation, it's still covered. So they only can get a little. But time is near. The second coming of Lord Jesus Christ is soon. So nowadays, when we read the book of Revelation, we have more understanding than before. Now, when we study the book of Revelation, the sense is more. We can understand more, and we can sense the coming of the Lord Jesus is soon. We have more sense, more have this kind of sense than before. Of course, in the Bible, Lord Jesus told us he's going to come again. For example, in John chapter 14, Lord Jesus mentioned he go and prepare the place for us, and he will come again and bring us to the eternal place. And when Jesus ascended to the heaven, at that very moment, the angel also appeared and announced Lord Jesus will come again. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 11. The angel also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So even in that very moment, Lord Jesus just ascended to heaven. The angels told the disciples, for sure, the same Jesus, he will come again. So the apostles, when they preached the gospel, they also confirmed this issue. Lord Jesus will come again. So when Jesus come again, what will be happened? What will be like? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. "For now we see in mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." Here Apostle Paul, he mentioned, "For now we see in the mirror dimly." We know this mirror is not today's mirror. It's a metal, shiny metal. So here Paul say, dimly. But then face to face, it means when the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to face to face. What's the meaning face to face? Paul say, "Now I know in part, not totally. Many things we only know a part, not 100%. But then I should know just as I also am known." We usually say God knows everything. So God knows us totally. But we know God usually only a little. So we usually say there's still have much room for us to know God more, to build a relationship with God more deeply, because God is unlimited.
But at that moment, the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, we should face to face to Him. We should know. We will know everything. Let's also turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 24. Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He has able even to subdue all things to Him. So when the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, what is going to happen? One of the things will happen is Lord Jesus will transform our lowly body. Now this body is called lowly body. And we were transformed into a glorious body, just like Lord Jesus Christ, when He resurrected from the death. We are going to have a glorious body. So this is the hope of the apostles. This is also the hope for us. So if we have this hope, what should we do? The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, he told us we should purify us just as He is pure. Let's come back to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So I have mentioned we need to make a good resolution. We want to have peace with all. And we want to become holiness. Just like here, Apostle John, he also emphasized, everyone who has this hope, we are one of them. We have this hope. We are going to receive, welcome the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. We have this living hope. Our lowly body will change to a glorious body. So if we have this hope, Apostle John encouraged us, we should purify ourselves just as He is pure. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is a holy one. So we should also become the holy one. So for sure, we are the children of God by God's grace. When I say by God's grace, it means by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of Lord Jesus Christ, by the truth of God, by the trial and the chastising he gives us. So now the main issue we should pursue, we should become holiness, just as He is pure. So how do we define holiness? What is holiness? I would like to give you mutual understanding. We should have some kinds of substantial issues for us to pursue. Otherwise, it's just in our mouths. We should be holy. But how do we practice in our daily life? What is the reality? Holy life. Number one, we are not in ability to sin, but the ability not to sin. The reality in our human life, we are not in ability to sin. Every one of us, we have ability to sin. There is no person say, I do not have the ability to sin. Because we are born in sin. We are born with sinful nature. We are born with sinful desire. We have this physical body. Every one of us, we are not in ability to sin. We have very high potential to do wrong, to sin. So what is the holiness? It means we have ability not to sin. Give you an example. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great weakness and sin against God? Verse 10. So it was as he spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. This is a good example. Joseph, he's a handsome young man. Joseph, he was able to commit a sin with this noble woman. But Joseph was able, Joseph had the ability not to sin. So Joseph, he is a holy one. Yes, he has the potential to commit sin. But because he is a holy person, so he have ability not to sin. So what is the holiness? It's not, we are not able, we do not have the ability to sin. It's because we have the ability not to sin. So this is the holiness. What is holiness? We are not freedom from temptation, but the power to overcome temptation. So in the Lord's Prayer, we ask God, lead us not into temptation. But the better is, lead us not meet the temptation. But in reality, I have mentioned, the temptation is everywhere. So we should meet the temptation, but we are able not into the temptation. So this is the holiness. We are not freedom from the temptation. As long as we live in this world, for sure we will encounter temptation. But we are holy, we pursue the holiness. So we have the, by God's grace, by our prayer, by our resolution, we have power to overcome the temptation. Let's turn to First John chapter 5. First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. First, we should have this kind of confidence. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. What is in us? The words of God, the Holy Spirit, the love of God. So if we pursue God, we will have the words of God. We will have the love of God. We will have the Spirit of God. So all of this greater than the spirit in this world, greater than the temptations in our surrounding. So first, we should have this kind of confidence. As long as I pursue God, I strive to draw near to God. I know the words of God with me, the love of God with me, the Holy Spirit with me. So yes, I will meet the temptation, but I'm able not into the temptation. I can overcome the temptation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We should build up our faith. We should encourage each other to strengthen each other's faith. We should ask Lord Jesus to strengthen our faith, just like the disciples. They ask Lord Jesus strengthen their faith. Otherwise, usually our faith is so little. So we need to build up from different ways to build up our faith, so we can overcome our temptation. In reality, yes, we should meet the temptations, but if possible, we avoid it, just like Joseph. He didn't want to be with Potiphar's wife. He avoided to be with her. But one day, he also was with her in one room. But he could overcome the temptation. What is holiness? Number 3. Not deliverance. We are not deliverance from infirmities of the flesh, but triumph over all bodily afflictions. Paul called this body is lowly body. So, yes, indeed, this body has many weakness. So sometimes, many times, our sufferings is because this flesh. This is true. This is the reality. We are able to triumph over all bodily affliction. Your friend might have had a car accident. you might have the car accident too. In car accident, your friend got injured. You might the same. Your friend catch cold. You might catch cold too. Because we have the same fresh same fresh body. But we can triumph over all the bodily afflictions. For example, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Verse 7, unless I, let me read verse 8 first. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I prayed with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most greatly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of the Christ may rest upon me. Apostle Paul, he also had the physical body. So he feel tired. He feel hungry. He feel pain when he was beaten. When he has a thorn on him, he also feel painful. He prayed to God for three times. He asked God to take it away. However, God did not deliver Paul from the infirmities. But God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measures by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So, as long as we strive to draw near to God, we will know whatever happened to us, there is purpose. There is good intentions from God. So we say God's way is the best way. How could we say God's way is the best way? If we strive to live a holy life, we will for sure God's way is the best way. So we might not be delivered from the infirmity, but we know we can triumph over all the bodily afflictions. What is holiness? We are not exemption from the conflict, but the victory through the conflict. We don't like a conflict. Confliction in our life. But somehow, yes, they are conflictions in our daily life. We are not exempted from that, but we can overcome. We can overcome it. For example, the confliction between Jesus and the leaders in the Jewish society. So the leaders of the Jewish society, they tried to put Jesus in death. That is the great confliction between Jesus and the Pharisees and the high priest and the scribes. Lord Jesus was not exempt from these conflictions. However, Jesus had the victory through the conflict. Jesus faced the crucifixion. So Lord Jesus fulfilled the salvation. So in the same way, we try to pursue peace with all people. But for some reasons, the conflictions is in our life. So what is the holiness? We can have the victory through the conflict. What is the holiness? We are not infallible judgment, but we are earnest and honest, striving to follow the higher wisdom. we need to make some decisions. We need to make some choice. It's not necessary every time we make a right decision. It's not necessary every time we make a right choice, because we are human being. We are limited in the time and space. So it's not necessary every time we make the right decisions, but we have that kind of earnest, honest striving to follow the higher wisdom. That is the holy life. It means we will examine ourselves. We use God's principle. We use God's words to make an examination. After we make an examination, we realize I make a wrong decision. I make a wrong choice. We have the earnest and honest heart to follow the higher wisdom. I mean, sometimes we did wrong. Yes, that is wrong, but that is not the shameful. Because we are not perfect. If we are holy, we want to pursue holy. We want to follow the higher wisdom. After we realized I was doing wrong, what is the right way? What is the teachings of God? I'm honest, earnest to follow that higher wisdom. And in God's eyesight, we are holy. The holiness is we are not end of progress, but we keep going. We will like become better and better. That is means we pursue to be a holy person. Let's pray in silence.